can turn to Ruth, the fourth chapter. Amen. There's a sweet presence of the Lord in this place. I can feel it already. I can feel like God. I feel like God is shifting some things and transitioning us and moving us to the place He desires us to be. Amen. Amen. Chapter number 4, verse number 4. It says, "And I thought to inform you, saying, buy it back in the presence of the inhabitants and the elders of my people, if you will redeem it." Hold on, I hear some pages turning, so I'll wait a minute. Ruth chapter 4, verse number 4. If you have it, say amen. If you don't, say hold on. I want everyone to be able to participate in the word of God. Verse number 4. I'll read it from its start. "And I thought to inform you, saying, buy it back in the presence of the inhabitants and the elders of my people. If you will redeem it, redeem it. But if you will not redeem it, then tell me that I may know. For there is not no one but you to redeem it. And I am next after you." And he said, "I will redeem it." Then Boaz said, "On the day you buy the field from the hand of Naomi, you must also buy it from Ruth, the Moabitess, the wife of the dead, to perpetuate, and I'm a teacher, the name of the dead through his inheritance." And the close relative said, "I cannot redeem it for myself, lest I ruin my own inheritance. You redeem my right of redemption for yourself, for I cannot redeem it." Verse number 7, "Now this was the custom in former times in Israel concerning redeeming and exchanging to confirm anything. One man took off his sandal and gave it to the other, and this was the confirmation in Israel. Therefore, the close relative said to Boaz, buy it for yourself. So he took off his sandal. And Boaz said to the elders and all the people, you are witnesses this day that I have bought all that was Elimelech's and have bought all, sorry, and have bought all that was Elimelech's and all that was Chilion's and Mahlon's for from the hand of Naomi. Moreover, Ruth, the Moabitess, the widow of Mahlon, I have acquired as my wife to perpetuate the name of the dead through his inheritance, that the name of the dead may not be cut off from among his brethren and from his position at the gate. You are witnesses this day." Let us pray. Spirit of the living God, we thank you for this opportunity to come into your house and to preach your gospel. God, I pray that you would speak with my lips, think with my thoughts. God, allow me to hear what you want to say to your people. God, I pray that their hearts will be penetrated through the word of God, that none will leave without an understanding of your word. I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart will be acceptable in your sight. God, I thank you for each single under the sound of my voice. I thank you, God, that they're going to leave with a deeper understanding of what they are and what position they're in right now and the season they're in. God, I pray that you would give us ears to hear and a heart to receive. Bless the minds of your people. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And every believer with the power of agreement, say amen. Why don't you, before you're seated, turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, my Redeemer lives. Find another neighbor and say, neighbor, my Redeemer lives. Find another neighbor one more time for the Holy Ghost and say, neighbor, my Redeemer liveth. Hallelujah. I'm so grateful, amen, to serve a God who lives, who is alive. Hallelujah. Who's a speaking God, who's a moving God, who can move anything out of my way. And I thank God that I serve a living Savior. Hallelujah. I'm thanking God that I don't have to serve a statue. Hallelujah. I don't have to position my God and move my God. My God is everywhere all at the same time. Hallelujah. I know my Redeemer liveth. Is there anybody in here that has experienced the living God? Hallelujah. I know my Redeemer lives. I know he's alive. Hallelujah. Because I can feel him in my hands. I can feel him in my feet. Oh, is there anybody in here that says, I can feel the presence of the Lord? I know he's alive. I know he is alive because he lives on the inside of me. Thank you, Jesus. My Redeemer liveth. He's not dead. We used to sing a song, God's not dead, he's yet alive. Because I can feel him all over me. And I thank God that he's a living God. And today, that's what God has given me for singles. During this season and time, whatever situation you find yourself in, whether you are a widow, whether you have been divorced, whether you are single and you've never been married, whatever situation you find yourself in, whether you're single or you're dating, God wants you to know that he is yet alive. And he has not forgotten you in your situation. I know some of you are getting discouraged. Like, God, when is my season going to come? When is my time going to come? When are you going to send me a godly mate? Oh, God, when are you going to send me some help? When are you going to send provision for me? And God is saying, I'm alive. I have not forgotten you. I will not leave you. I'm not asleep. He is yet alive. And he wants to minister to you right where you are. You don't know why you're in this season, but God is right now developing you, molding you, making you to be who he called you to be. Amen? Amen. And while you start working and doing the work, the kingdom work of ministry, while you start taking care of his business, he's going to your house. And he's going to your house. And he's going to your house. And he's working things out for your good. And even in the midst of you being single, I have learned, and as a single woman, I have learned that God has kept me. Did you hear me? I said God has kept me. And even though I may not have had a man to do things for me, I believe that God has provided for me, made ways for me, sent help for me. Is there any witnesses in the house that said I'm single, hallelujah, praying for a godly mate, but God has been faithful to me? God has been my redeemer. God has been kind. He's been loving to me, even in my moments of loneliness. Even in those moments where I say, God, how could you leave me like this? How could I be so alone? God says, I'm there. I'm there. I want you to just love on me. I want to wrap my arms around you. I want to minister to you right where you are. And everywhere you hurt, in every broken place, God wants to meet you right where you are. Amen? And I believe that there is a word in this house for you. Amen? Wherever you find yourself in, be content. Be happy. Be satisfied. Amen? Not complacent, but be content. This is not time for you to say, God, I give up. I throw in the towel. I'm going to stop praying. I'm going to stop believing. No, this is the time you say, God, I trust you. I stand on your word. And every promise in your word, it has to come to pass. You haven't forsaken me. And I hear the Holy Ghost even saying, some of you have sat back and you've watched other people get blessed. You watched other people get husbands, and you watched other people, oh God, get financial breakthroughs, and you've seen other people, oh God, their children get blessed, and you're like, God, when is it going to be my season? When is it going to be my time? And God says, I'm still alive. I have not forgotten you. I have not forsaken you. I am taking care of everything that concerns you. Hallelujah. And every promise in the word of God, it has to come to pass. Amen? Amen. You may be seated. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. In whatever state you find yourself in as a single, you have to understand that God is transitioning you and moving you into who he's calling you to be in this season. Okay, so some of you are in a transition. Maybe you were married at one time, but your husband has now gone on. Okay, maybe you were married one time and you have now divorced. Maybe you are single and you're a single parent. Perhaps you are single and you're in the process of dating, but you've never been married. Whatever situation you find yourself in today, I want you to understand that God is transitioning you and moving you into who he wants you to be. He's transforming you. See, you know, the thing that God has for you is so great. His plan for your life is so marvelous. It's so big. It's so big that you can't even comprehend it. It's far past you trying to figure it out. And so because his plan for your life is so great, there's some things that he has to do in and through you. He has to mold you. He has to make you. He's forming you to be who he's calling you to be, because you know what? Whatever he has for you, you got to be ready for it. And I know some of us are praying, Lord, send me a mate. God, send me a husband. Send me a wife. And God is saying, listen, this is your season to start working on yourself. This is your season to get the word of God in your heart and start applying scripture to your life, so that when God links you with the right person, you'll be in a position, you'll be in the place to properly be the helpmate to that person. Oh, I know it's going to get quiet, because a lot of times we feel like we want things when we want it. Apostle, we want things when in the time that we feel is necessary. Well, God, I'm 35. My biological clock is ticking. God, everyone else around me is on their second child. That's where I am right now. A lot of my friends, my older friends, they're on child number two. And my younger friends, they're just about to get engaged in that pre-engagement stage. But however, I understand that where God has me in this season, it's strategic. He's doing some things in me. He's doing some things in whoever he has for me. Amen. And in the right time, in the right season, God's going to send the right person in my life, and I'm going to be able to handle it. I'm going to be a loving wife. You're going to be a loving husband, because God is doing some things. And you see, right now, you're not ready. Your heart is not ready. I know you think you're ready, but God is saying there's a time and there's a season that I'm going to transition you into what I have for you. And then when we look at our text, the story of Ruth, we understand that Ruth and Naomi and Orpah, three women who lost their husbands. And we understand that during this time period, the husbands were, they were the breadwinners. They were the ones who provided for the family. They were the ones who took care of the household. And so now these three women are left without a husband. So now they're left without their provision. And so right now, I just want to take a moment and allow you to understand the fact that even though during this time period, the woman really depended on the man, ultimately, when we are linking up with someone, or when we are even in a single state, we have to understand that God is ultimately our provider. So we must not depend on man to provide for us. I did a single session yesterday, and I talked about the fact how, as women, we want men of God to provide for us. We want them to make the big bucks. We want them to be the ones who are the sole providers of the home, and that's great, but you have to understand that you have a provider. God is my provider. Hello. Because we're living in a day and age where women are now making just as much as the men, or women maybe making more than the men. So when we establish that God is ultimately our provider, we understand that if I lose my job or he lose my job, his job, ultimately it's God's job to provide for both of us. Amen? Amen. He's promised in his word that he will supply all of our needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And so these three women have lost their provision. They have now, oh God, found themselves in a position where they have to make money for themselves. Right? And so I, you know, looking at this text, I understand that is a difficult place to be in. And some of you may find yourself in that position where at one time you had a relationship, or perhaps you were married and the money was a little bit different. And now you're in a state where you have to say, God, my total dependency and my total trust is on you. But I have to understand, and I know for a fact, that God is faithful. When I put my confidence in him, when I put my trust in him, when I put everything that I need on to him, I'm not going to carry the burden. I'm going to cast my burden on the Lord, because I know he cares for me. I know he's going to take care of it. I know I don't have to worry. The Bible says, be anxious for nothing.